Welcome to Paint Ed. Hey, I'm Chris Schenk, the education guy at the Painting Contractors Association, providing painting contractors with the training and connections they need to grow their business. To find out more, visit pdca.org. We are right in the middle of our Million Dollar Biz Blitz at PDCA, and there's no one better to talk about scaling your HR policies and structure than Ojinga Carr of Epiphany Consulting. On Tuesday, July 17th at 4 p.m. Central, Ojinga will be discussing how your HR needs to change to adapt to your growth. And that involves training leaders, building and rightly valuing core employees, and creating more structure for more growth. Ojinga also talks about why managers ought not to be afraid to write up their favorite employees to avoid what many, many smart people now commonly refer to as tribal or emotive management. Feel free to borrow those. Don't miss the full webinar with Ojinga on high-performance HR. Register at pdca.org. Hey, Ojinga, welcome to Paint Ed.
Thank you so much for having me, Chris. You know I love being here with the painters and the contractors.
Yeah, they love you being here too because you've actually provided some really good education for us. You know HR like nobody's business, and you've presented at Expo, and you've done some webinars and some podcasts. But you also talk about business growth and leadership. I think that's interesting, and you have some really unique perspectives. I know that I remember sitting down with you and our previous CEO here at PDCA, and we were just talking about even the structure of PDCA and what our business owners are struggling with. And you were able to kind of encapsulate what the pain points are and how to meet those needs. And it was really refreshing. So I know people appreciate just hearing your perspective, and maybe you speak with some sincerity. Maybe there's some genius mixed in there somewhere, but, really, people do enjoy hearing from you. I know you just had a leadership summit, didn't you, just recently in Memphis?
I did. We run leadership summits for business owners and leaders in organizations. And so that's one of the big things that we do. We actually have another summit coming up in Dallas called the Limitless Summit Dallas, and one that's coming up in Memphis in October. So we have one in August and one in October. So we're traveling across the country, really helping business leaders be able to figure out how they structure their organization to succeed. Because what we find, especially with the people who we're talking about who are growing their business, who are really serious about growing their business, is that we have to take it from the mom and pop mentality to how is it that we're building something that's going to survive past us. We start to think about legacy. And so the last conference that we had was a Breakthrough Accelerator Bootcamp, and it was about the birth of the champion. So how can we be a champion? How can we build our legacy in our business and in our life? And so one of my really good friends says to me all the time that business problems are basically just not so well hidden personal problems. Mm. So our businesses and our personals are one and the same. So it's a big thing.
Well, that's cool that you're doing all those. And that's put on by Epiphany, right?
Yes, Epiphany Consulting. Yeah, absolutely. That's my company. And we put on live events and then also work directly with businesses on how to structure themselves the right way as well, too. And that's the name of my company, Epiphany Consulting.
Okay. I know we are in the middle right now of the Million Dollar Biz Blitz series for this month of July. And we just had it kicked off by Tom Reber. And he was talking about rarely talked about strategies for growth. And so we are really wanting to help business owners who are at either moving into that $1 million mark of revenue or beyond, and saying, how do we keep taking that next step? And sometimes the business education and training that is needed at that level is really different than when you're starting a business and just starting to stabilize. So we're helping people kind of scale again. And so you are going to be talking about high-performance HR practices, making sure your HR practices are ready to scale. And I know you'll be talking about a few key topics, which I want to ask you about, but we tried to assemble a list of questions that our contractors are going to be interested in. And these are the questions that we came up with that I know that we're excited about hearing you address. And I just wanted to know kind of what your feedback on these would be. So the questions being, what do businesses earning over $1 million in revenue need to know to keep scaling their HR? Because there's probably several points, you know, in business growth that you do that, correct?
Absolutely. When you think about a business that is just over a million, that's looking to scale and really looking to grow, what happens is that's a critical juncture for your business because you've kind of grown past that mom and pop stage. And now you have tons of employees. And so we have to make sure we're legal in our policies and what we're doing, make sure that legality is good. What happens with most businesses, and this is whether it's a paint business or whatever type of business it is that if you are trying to do it the right way, you start off with an accountant and with an attorney. And so you have an attorney, you have an accountant, but we don't take care of the HR part of our business very well. And so now we don't have that structure and we kind of like leave it to an admin or whatever. And now we put ourselves in a bad spot because we can have a lawsuit that'll pop up with us that will wipe out all the gains it is that we've made in our business. And so you guys are great at painting. You're great at that. I have no idea what type of roller to use or whether it's spray or whatever with that. But what I know is how to deal with HR in the right way and to make sure that we take care of our business. So that's what we do. That's what I love to do is get a chance to help people figure out how do we structure that the right way.
So some of the questions are also like, what do people need to know for the $1 million to $5 million range? And what do they need to grow? What do they need to do to grow, I guess, to the $5 to $10 million range, especially when it comes to HR and scaling that? So are those two different ranges in your mind? And I wonder how you would break that down. Is it kind of the $1 to $5 million that's where certain things are needed, and then there's something different at $5 to $10 million and on? How would you break that up as far as different stages?
Well, I'll tell you that there's different stages in revenue, but there's also different stages in amounts of employees.
Yeah. Okay.
And so that's really the bigger piece is how many employees you have. You might have one great, really great customer, and now all of a sudden you have a large amount of money, but you're not necessarily dealing with a ton of different job sites or whatever with that. But then once you're dealing with tons of different job sites and tons of different employees, it's all about your leadership that you build into your system. So, Chris, there's structure and there's human capital. That's what the tree is broken down to. There's one tree called human resource management. That tree is broken into two sides, into organizational structure and to human capital. So the structure side is what we're building and getting really tight as we grow and get to that up to under a million and get to a million and they get to one to 5 million. Once you're over that, what you're really growing then is you're growing leaders, because what you don't want to do is build a monster that's so big that all you do is spend all of your time in that monster and doing it as the owner or as the higher up person. So what we've got to do is to figure out how do we structure our organization so that it has a real flow. And so that there's a leadership and that you're constantly building leaders. See, you know that you're a leader when you build other leaders.
Yeah.
And so leadership's a huge thing of that.
Yeah. You know? I've heard leaders don't make followers. They make leaders. Good leaders. Now, is that what you refer to when you talk about core employees? Are these those types of leaders? Because I know that the core employee idea is kind of it's big in your system, right?
Absolutely. So when we talk about core employees, what we're talking about is employees who've been with you for two or more years is what we're talking about. So anyone in your hierarchy can be a core employee. They've been with you for two or more years. See, once someone's been with you for two or more years, you pretty much know what to expect from them. They pretty much know what to expect from you. We pretty much know how what we're going to get out of that position. But understand that, Chris, it costs three times a core employee salary to replace that core employee with another core employee. That's because it's so hard to be able to get people in. So I know that marketers talk a lot of whiz-bangery about customer acquisition costs. And so businesses are starting to become really, really cognizant of customer acquisition costs. Where businesses are not cognizant of is of employee acquisition costs. So there's a whole matrix that I'm going to teach in this webinar about what it is you look for, and what by the end of the webinar, you'll have an idea. You'll be able to figure out how much it actually costs you to acquire an employee. And so that's really important, because if you're constantly turning employees over, then that's where your money's going. And so we have to be able to figure out how do we hire better so that we can then have better employees, and how are we clearer about what it is that we need from that. So that's important.
So there's that acquisition cost for employees, but core employees too, like you're mentioning. So there's replacing employees with employees, but there's replacing core employees. Now that's interesting if you kind of think of it like that, the cost of that being three times more than what you say?
Three times more than their salary. So if you were paying somebody $50,000, then it's going to cost you $150,000 to replace that person with a core employee.
With bringing them up to the
right. We're getting up to 2 years to be able to be there. Because what happens is that people come in and then they quit. And then we come in and we fire them. And then we had a bunch of costs that went along with that. We trained people because you have to understand that. So like there's all these different costs that are coming with that. And then while you're doing that paperwork, now that makes you more susceptible if you get audited in some sort of governmental audit that you're going to have made mistakes because you're doing more paperwork. And so our goal is for our clients is to get them up to 80% core employees, 80% core employees. Because if we can get there, then your organization's running well, and we're going to be able to get a lot out of it as it relates to that too.
I love that. Now, are there things in 2018? Are you helping companies deal with HR practices that are new in 2018? Is that how are you helping people through that transition?
Absolutely. Well, there really isn't anything new under the sun. There's changes that shift a little bit as it relates to HR. But still, the biggest thing is that there's not that many laws. What it is that we're not consistent in the way that we apply our policy. And so if I could get people to do one thing, and that is be consistent in their applying their policies, then they would be ahead of the game in a lot of ways. If you've never written up or fired someone who you like, there's probably something wrong with your handbook. That's because what we do is we start to make differences for people who we like, and now we're not being consistent in the way we're treating our employees. And so, you know, that worked in the old days. That does not work now. People freak out about working with millennials and everything like that. Understand the best way to work with millennials is to be really clear about what your expectations are. If you're not clear about what your expectations are and you expect for this employee just to kind of figure it out on their own, then we are setting ourselves up for failure.
Okay. You know, I like that whole idea of being able to write up somebody that you like. Now, that's interesting to kind of take that on. If you're not doing that, you're saying you're not doing something right.
Right.
That's challenging.
What we do is we say, I like this person, and so I'm not going to give them a write-up. So, but I don't like Bobby, so I'm going to write Bobby up for being late. But Jimmy's okay with me. I like Jimmy. And so now what happens is that Bobby's cousin is a labor attorney, and you end up firing Bobby, and then they sue you. And those labor attorneys have their faces wrapped around buses for a reason. It is because it is a lot of low-hanging fruit that's out here, people who are doing bad things. And so we don't want to be those. See, big companies, even when you have 5 million, 10 million, you're not a large company in the scale of what happens in the world. So big companies routinely take stacks of cash, put them on a table, pour gasoline on them, and set them on fire. You can't afford to do that in your business. So it's necessary for you and your business to make sure you're running it the right way, especially as you're growing, because the larger you grow, the bigger your target is. The more your employees say, wow, well, Bob is making a lot of money here in this place. He's got a really nice car. His wife is really nice. All these things. So I think I deserve to do this. And so that's where the problem is.
I would like to coin a couple phrases, if I may. And when you're talking about, I love that idea of you have to be able to write up somebody you like, because there is it feels like to me, this idea of tribal management, which is you pay out favors to the people that are closest to you, the people you like, or maybe a better phrase would be this was emotive leadership, like emotional leadership based on like my emotional reaction to someone. And we've got to get kind of beyond that tribal or emotional way of relating to individuals and say, how do I make this a little bit more systematic and scientific, a little bit more detached, if you will. Now, I do appreciate people who talk about leadership and empathy in leadership, and how even empathy in marketing. I know we had Tom Reber was talking about empathy in working with customers and understand things from their perspective. And you do have to have that. So I totally, this has no bearing on that. But I'm just saying, like, there is a certain element of management where you do have to say, how do I detach from my emotional reaction to people? So I love that you're emphasizing that. That's great. I'm excited to actually see some of how you break this stuff down. Question for you real quick. I'm just going to shoot out a couple. These are kind of sidebar questions, but do you see anything coming for 2019 that's going to be big issues in terms of human resources?
Well, one of the biggest issues is that we're going to have to deal with that's still there is independent contractors versus W-2 employees. Many of you are out here subbing people who are actually employees. The government cares about that. Uncle Sam wants his money. You can understand that. And so,
he's not being mean.
High level, right?
Daddy's not mad.
That's it. And so, that's the thing. And so, there's a high level of interest in that from the government because we're living in what we like to call the gig economy right now. And so, people are getting different gigs and they're not paying their taxes. And the government cares about that. So, the government cares about the fact that we have Uber drivers now instead of cab drivers because it's harder to keep up with and it's harder to be able to keep up with from a tax situation. And so it's the same thing where you figure we're just going to bring a guy on and they're just going to do some painting for us and it's not going to be a big deal. And I understand that those fines can be extremely hefty and they can cost you your business. Mm. And so I don't want to see that happen.
Right. Okay. Nice. Love it. Thanks. That's exactly what I was looking for that little question. The other thing is, what about, I hear this every once in a while, maybe there's going to be sometime we'll have like a whole session on this, but people ask about employees and drug use or even pot, even if it's legalized or whatever. What kind of issues surrounding that would you have? What kind of message would you have for contractors on those issues? I know like it's not really fair to ask you at the end of the podcast. So I'm just curious what your first response would be.
Oh, no, we're good. I mean, when we talk about drug use, understand this, that medical marijuana, I mean, if you're in a state like Colorado or like Washington or this or California to an extent, there's states that now, and I mean, Nevada, there's states that have recreational marijuana. There's states that have medical marijuana. There's 28 states in total that have either recreational or medical marijuana. And marijuana is still illegal in the United States, though. So that means that even if you were in a state that has recreational, you still have the right as a business owner to say, we're not going to have someone who uses drugs, uses marijuana in our place of business. Understand, I mean, I've got one of my clients is a medical marijuana distributor in Colorado, and they drug test for everything else except for marijuana because it wouldn't be a good idea to have somebody who was on heroin in their cash only business because they're only a cash only business. That's the way that they have to be structured in that way. Mm. So it's up to you to decide what your workforce is going to be. So, it may make it more difficult for you and, you know, to be able to get people, but that's up to you. So it's up to you to make that decision. There's not a legal people. You'll have all these sidewalk attorneys who work for you say, oh, well, I went on a vacation to Denver. And it was legal in Denver, so therefore you can't write me up because that's not true.
Nice. Well, thanks for taking a shot at that.
No, I get it.
we get more questions about that. Maybe be something sometime we'll do some session on it and see if you would want to be involved. But really excited about hearing more from you and about scaling and high performance HR. So we'll give more people information about how to get to that. PDCA.org, of course. And Ojinga, how do people get a hold of you if they want more information?
They want to talk to me. They can always come to epiphanyconsulting.biz, epiphanyconsulting.biz. That is E-P-I-P-H-A-N-Y. If I can spell my own name, CONSULTING.biz. And so they can come to my website. Tons of information there. They can also, when they come to my website, a couple of things will pop up there for them if they want to talk to me directly. And we can make it happen for them because we want to be able to help people as much as we possibly can.
I believe that. Hey, thanks for being on Paint Ed, Virginia.
Yeah, thank you so much.
Paint Ed podcasts are a product of the Painting Contractors Association. To find out more about upcoming education opportunities or for more information about joining PDCA and getting access to advanced resources for your business, visit pdca.org. We'll see you next time.
Uncle Sam wants his money.